You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Absa has restored dividend payments, rewarding its shareholders with a dividend of R7.85 in the 2021 financial year. And this is after it didn't pay a dividend last year. Like most banks are taking the more cautious approach as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. But this time around, Absa has reported that profits are more than doubled, with its headline earnings coming in at 18.6 billion rand in the 2021 financial year. And we have Jason Quinn, the interim CEO at Absa, joining the market update to take us through the numbers. Jason, once again, thank you so much for joining the market update, and we certainly do appreciate your time. Just reflecting on where things stand currently with your book now past the pre-pandemic levels, a trend that we saw happening already in the first half of the year. But as you reflect on the biggest drivers that did boost profits this time around, can you just talk to us about the sustainability of these drivers in keeping the profit momentum growing in the year ahead?
Thanks, Fifi. Good evening to you and your listeners. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, Fifi. I think that's a good summary. If you look at our performance, you'll see that headline earnings got to, as you say, you know, 18.5 billion rand. You know, the decisions we made in 2020 to build significant provisions for bad debts proved to be the right ones. You know, so in 2021, our bad debt provisions were quite modest. And in fact, at the bottom end of our expectations, so they came through at 77 basis points. So the recovery in provisions got us to 2019 levels, more or less, of earnings. But we printed about 2 billion more than that, and that was supported by revenues growing faster than costs for those 2 years, with positive jaws, pre-provision profits up quite nicely. In other words, last year up 7%. A strong contribution across our business, so a nice diversified performance in the retail and business bank. Good to see loan momentum continuing in mortgages and vehicles. Great deposit growth. You know, it's always a nice customer franchise health indicator. So deposits up 12% there. A very good story for Absa. And then in the corporate and investment bank, really good performance from corporate. In the investment bank, our global markets team did very well. Revenues up 14%. So looking at all of those indicators, Fifi, we confirmed today that we expect that strong second half momentum in our business to continue into 2022 with similar levels of ROE. High single-digit revenue growth, positive jaws, and many other strong factors. So, you know, in our hands, but we think we'll execute well against that.
No, the ROE, or the return on equity reported this time around, was quite impressive, jumping from 5.2% to 14.6%. And I think your shareholders could possibly be quite encouraged that you are expecting a similar momentum thereof. But Quinton, how satisfied are you with the performance of your retail business? And do you think there are any areas where you can improve the situation presently?
Oh, thanks, Fifi. So, yeah, return on equity, the numbers you quoted there are the IFRS numbers. We look at a normalized reporting, excluding the effects of separation from Barclays, which means we think we're at 15.8% without that, which is the most comparable one to other banks. Nicely ahead of cost of equity of 14.5%, and that's a couple of years ahead of the guidance we gave a year ago. So, yeah, great to see Absa's ROE well above cost of equity again, and a very good performance. Both the return on equities in our largest businesses, CIB was in the 20s. Retail business banking, a strong rebound, as you suggest. I think in retail business banking, what we're looking for more now is pre-provision profits. In other words, a bit more revenue momentum, particularly in non-interest revenue. Given the fact that I've already said that, you know, their loans were great and their deposits were, it's now just a matter of growing transactional revenues a bit better going forward. I think that'll be one of the key drivers we're looking for from the retail bank in South Africa going forward.
Just in going forward, we heard recently from the finance minister, I think he was just echoing the words of the president as well, regarding the support that a bank such as yourself would be providing in the form of assistance to smaller enterprises as part of the COVID-19 recovery. I think it's the bounce back scheme, as it were. Can you just talk to us about the role that you're playing there?
Yeah, absolutely. Fifi, so, you know, at the depths of COVID, Absa provided significant levels of relief to its customers before that first loan guarantee scheme was launched. So we had almost a third of our mortgage book, for instance, under relief, which meant that those customers didn't have to make installments for 6 months if they were in good standing. So we put significant support back into the market. We supported the first loan guarantee scheme. And this one, this latest one, of course, you know, any initiative that supports our customers with respect to cash flows in their time of need, we would support. So we're fully engaged in the opportunity around that new scheme.
Just going back to the numbers, I mean, your numbers coming, as we've seen, the numbers of your colleagues in the banking sector also come, suggesting the economy being a lot more resilient, being in a better form than was initially expected. So, you know, would you say the recovery then is firmly on track and that we can potentially be excited about a growing economy this year, just based on what you are seeing walking through your doors?
Okay, thanks, Fifi. So if you go back to, let's call it April 2020, when we were in level 5 lockdowns and the like, and you'd offered us this economic scenario that we're in today, I think I'd suggest we'd grab onto that with two hands. You know, we've seen significant policy support in the form of interest rates being lowered. We've seen the commodity sector do particularly well, and you've seen how that supported the fiscus. Some sectors like agriculture also coming through very strongly with exports. So, yeah, I think, look, it's a delicately balanced Fifi right now. You know, the events in Ukraine are obviously high on everyone's radar, and there's lots still to be done. But if you look at where we are now, our conviction is that, you know, we're going to be okay. We think that, you know, the inflationary pressures ought to be watched, particularly with the oil price and where that's going. However, on the other side, you know, we see significant commitment from the government around infrastructure and infrastructure spending and investment. And I think that should position our economy well for recovery.
Mm. Does your book have any exposure to the Russia-Ukraine crisis?
No, Fifi, we've got negligible exposures on our balance sheets to anything related to Russia or Ukraine. We've got some clients, multinational clients, that may have exposure. We're watching that carefully, but nothing to report at all on our side.
Jason, in terms of management structure, when can we expect APSA to announce a permanent CEO?
That's a matter for our board. Our board's fully engaged on that.
All right. Any idea on when an announcement can be expected?
No, that's for the board to engage on.
Mm. But talking about the board, I just, it would be remiss of us not to reflect on what is happening in the boardroom with the former lead executive challenging the process that was followed to appoint the new chair. Is there anything that you can tell us about where things are legally there?
No, Fifi, that's a matter that will be heard by the courts in due course. So it'd be inappropriate for me to comment further at this point. At the time of Mr. Pichana's removal from our board, there was communication from our company, and that's still relevant today.
Mm. And has the legal situation presently, which of course does follow the departure of the former APSA CEO, Daniel Mnele, has it made doing business difficult?
If you look, you know, I mean, that was a year ago. I don't think performance can ever be attributed to one person. We've got 35,000 people at APSA that have worked tremendously hard to deliver the results that you see us produce today. Our client franchise is in a good position, as you heard from me earlier. So, no, you've got a team here that's very committed to APSA and to its success.
All right. Jason, thanks so much for taking those questions. But just one last question on growth in the year ahead and where it's likely to come from. Can you just give us that detail?
So for the markets generally, Fifi, is that what you're referring to?
For APSA, in terms of the opportunity that you are eyeing, not only here in South Africa, but also in the rest of the continent where you are, I think, still trying to pan or beef up your presence.
Yeah, thanks, Fifi. So I think from APSA right now, you'll probably see more of the same in terms of where the growth should come from. You know, we've been delivering and executing, I think, fairly well against the strategy. If you look at how we responded through COVID, making sure our colleagues were safe, being there for our customers, that stood us in good stead to preserve capital and liquidity. Then gives us a good balance sheet that we can grow off, and you've seen the growth come through last year. So I think those targeted markets are likely to remain the same because we see significant headroom still in the markets that we're in.
All right. Jason, thanks so much for your time. Jason Quinn, the interim CEO at APSA.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.